I was living in a devil town. I didn't know it was a devil town.
The Territorial Cup is back in Tempe. That's where it belongs. 52-37 is the final over the Arizona Wildcats. This game was just totally great to see. A lot of offense, fun to watch. They beat their arch rival. Just great in so many ways. More importantly, the ASU Sun Devils are now 6-5 and 4-4 in the Pac-12 conference. One regular season game left, and that's at Cal. We'll talk a little bowl possibilities as well as some ASU hoops. We'll also hear from QB1 Mike Bercovici. Saturday was just an amazing day. As we said, senior day to close out the home schedule. I'm Brett Quintine, and I was fortunate to be part of it. Ralph Amzen was as well. Chili, hopefully you were somewhere fun.
I actually got to watch the game with my dad. We kind of just hung out at home and took it all in with some friends and stuff. And I mean, it was cool. We got to saw the crazy atmosphere at the game. We kind of took it all in. We turned the TV up way loud, you know, at the beginning so that like we could kind of feel like we were part of the ambiance and like
good
all
stuff.
Of that stuff. Great game. I don't even know like where to really start and finish because it all ends up in the same place.
That's very true. And Chili, we could talk stats all day long and we will, but this was the first time that I really felt ASU. We've been doing this for a while now, ever since middle of March, but I just had not really felt the whole maroon and gold, and I hadn't really felt the love, and we certainly didn't feel the love for a while, but now it seems like a lot of things are falling into place. It was just a real great victory. The energy, the students, it made this one really special. Mike Bercovici felt the same way.
Obviously, it was an incredible win, just an incredible feeling, especially Coach Graham talks about, you know, one of the best memories about senior night, you know, or senior day is that you won the game, and we accomplished that. And it's just something that's going to hold with us forever, especially this senior class. But, you know, it is a new week, and there's a lot riding on this game this week, so we're just going to rally up. You know, it's time to move on. But we definitely enjoyed the win, but it's time to focus, and the focus is Cal.
He had a nice game, 315 yards, a pair of touchdown passes. This was just good to see, as I've mentioned a couple of times already. It was more one-sided than the final score indicated. Chili, we've talked a lot about a pair of runners, Demario Richard and Kalen Balage, each of them going over 100 yards. Devin Lucien with 9 catches for 190 yards. And how about this? Maybe they found a new Jalen. Jalen Harvey had a 41-yard reception, his first as a Sun Devil, and it went for a score on the offensive side of the ball. All is right with the world.
Yeah, no question. And the receivers looked amazing. Outside of Jalen Harvey, obviously, everybody knows about Devin Lucien. Devin got loose.
He did, yes.
9 receptions, mind-boggling, 190 yards. This is what we expected when he came over. Tim White, another one, 8 catches. You know, not a mind-boggling 190. He hit for a 67, but, you know, that's what you want. 8 catches, 6, that's cool because we got somebody at 200 already. So,
correct.
Man, DJ Foster caught a ball, Gary Chambers. I mean,
and it was good to see DJ Foster, like you said, catch a touchdown pass. He didn't have a whole lot of total yards in the game, not as much as one would think if they're scoring 52 points.
Right.
But it was good to see him get in the mix. Obviously, as we've talked all season long, they have a lot of weapons. But just overall, this firepower, this was the statement game that we wanted to see. They came out. They were up 14-0. Boom. Game was never in doubt.
We talked about this, and you had to have this one.
Yep.
You had to have this one. There was no question. The Sun Devils are now 6-5 bowl eligible. I know that there was not the Foster Farms Bowl, but there's an Independence Bowl or something like that out there.
Yes, actually there was still to this day, I don't know who they were there to see the I think it's the Camping World Independence Bowl. There was a rep with his jacket on walking around the press box. I really hope ASU doesn't end up going to that bowl. I think Shreveport, Louisiana is not where one needs to go for a bowl game.
Yeah, but you can find some good crawfish there.
You could, but I don't eat crawfish, and I don't know how many of the guys on the team do, so maybe they don't need to go to that one. But
I hear you. I hear you. But talking about the offense, man, You cannot talk about this running game enough, man. Kalen Ballage with his 18 carries for 110 and Demario Richard 14 for 105 in the touch. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
They're even better than you said now. Like remember for the last few weeks, I was like, they're yes. everything you said.
Right, now they're even better. Rose up.
They've exceeded what you said they would be. They're it's not true. Who we thought they no, were.
Like, that's true.
They're better.
Yeah, they are.
And it's exciting. Like, I'm hyped. Can you tell the volume?
It is. I mean, they put it all together. I mean, from the passing standpoint, from the running game, I mean, just overall, even look at special teams. Matt Hake with, I believe he was over 41 yards a punt on his average. Overall, it was this, like I said, this was the first time I really felt ASU. I mean, right. It was just really like, wow, this is what it's supposed to be. The packed house, and you know how I've been feeling about the whole attendance scenario. To see this thing filled, to see the guys ringing the bell, senior day with the guys coming out even before they hit the field initially, it was great.
And you know, don't get me wrong. I don't need to see I don't need to see Frank Cushfield Territorial Cup crazy every time there's right. a game there. But something close to it.
Yeah.
So something right. in between what's been there and what was there on Saturday.
That's right.
Just
it was just energetic
in between. Like yes. just show me some passion. And you know that's all I'm looking for. You know, mm-hmm. not one time a season. Like I just need a little of it, you know, a little right. bit here and there. But man, like I don't know. It was like the Sun Devils came out like, hey, we're not going to lose this effing right. game. Like,
daytime fireworks. I mean, it was, I'm like, wow, they lighting up fireworks in the daytime. But it made sense.
And they, Sun Devil defense chased.
I was just about to say I had zero issues with the defense. Yes, 37 points were scored by University of Arizona, but the back seven came in garbage time.
Right, right, right.
And seven were also scored on a pick six. So yes, all right, hey, they gave up 23 points. Not a big deal in my eyes because everything was working. Speaking of working, Kareem Orr, he had a pick six himself.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's he's young also, which is fantastic. I mean, they got some
Kareem
they got tools.
And Lloyd. They both got pick sixes, man. And Kareem Orr wasn't just a short one. He went for a healthy like 20 yards.
Yes,
or something like that, so.
Absolutely. So it was overall, I mean, just to see the double inferno happening, it was it was good. It was just, like you said, you don't have to see that every Saturday afternoon or every Saturday night, but you need to see that middle ground. You need to see people pumped up. You need to see people happy. And there was a buzz in that stadium unlike any other that I had been to at Sun Devil Stadium. It was phenomenal.
And also, like, Arizona, like they didn't dominate really in any facet. I know they had a 300-yard passer, but
right. I'll say this: the one I'm gonna say bright spot for U of A, Trey Griffey.
Right.
He had a 95-yard touchdown catching. That was nice, and he did it on his dad's birthday, who was in attendance.
Oh, really?
So Ken Griffey was at the game to see his son break it off for 95 yards, dance through the secondary a little bit. That was good to see.
And you know, like Trey Griffey, you know, shout out to him for, you know, whatever. But he had 140 yards receiving. 95 of those came on one catch.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, like, it just happened.
Yes, and yes. Like, yeah, it's not like he was a force, no, but it was that one particular play.
Like, you take that one play out, like, I'm not even concerned about the points, really. But right. you take that one play out, and Brandon Dawkins ends up being, you know, 15 for 30 and 200 yards passing.
Right,
you know,
and that's what I mean.
Nothing spectacular.
The Wildcats never threatened. There was never a scenario where, wow, all right, this is going to be serious. No, I mean, the Sun Devils came out from the get-go and said, this is us. We're home. We getting this cup back. It's our day for the seniors. It's our day for our fans. Let's keep it moving.
You know how many yards ASU gave up to U of A running backs?
It was a little bit over 100?
Nine.
Was it just not? Wow. Okay.
Nine. They gave up 100 yards to U of A quarterbacks.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay.
Brandon Dawkins, he ran for 78, mm-hmm. and Gerard Randall, man, that kid's got some boosters
yes.
on him. Holy smokes. He ran for 22. So, but
for running backs, okay, wow.
You'll be running backs. Hey, Brandon Dawkins might have gotten 78 yards on 21 carries. But he paid the price for those.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he definitely did. So yeah, overall, and we'll get into Cal in a bit, but yeah, fantastic performance on Saturday afternoon. Well, all right, folks, it's basketball season two. Bobby Hurley and crew, they're now 3-2 after playing a couple of games in Brooklyn, the Barclays Center. Still kind of early to figure this team out, but those early season tournaments against stiff competition, always a good thing before they settle into the Pac-12 later on. Playing NC State and Marquette certainly can't hurt. Traveling essentially 3,000 miles away to the Barclays Center. December and late November is what gets you ready for March. It doesn't really matter what conference you're in. You got to have a taste of some of the, we'll say, power conferences. This way you know what's good come March.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. You know, they had the tough loss to Marquette.
Mm-hmm. Beat NC State. Beat an ACC team.
Let's not look at the negatives, man. You know, NC State, you know, they're you know, somebody that you traditionally look at like, hey, they're good.
That's right.
They're good.
That's right. Absolutely.
And, you know, seasons past, you know, last season, the season before, like, you kind of feel like this is a game maybe ASU would have lost. You know, they wouldn't have won the close game against NC State. They would have lost it. They would have been on the short side of the 79-76. And they won. So, you know, I could not be happier about the direction that this basketball program is currently going.
Correct. And we definitely will key in on a lot of basketball as the months progress. ASU Women's Hoops, 1-1 is their current record. They're headed to Hawaii for Thanksgiving weekend. 3 games in 3 days. South Carolina, Hawaii, and Cal State Bakersfield are all upcoming, and we look forward to seeing them compete in a major way. The women's volleyball team, they finish up their regular season at Oregon and also at U of A. Chili, back to football, and my player of the game was Devin Lucien. Yes, he had big yardage, but even if you take away his big 59-yard touchdown catch, it still would work out to 8 receptions for 131 yards, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, a couple of these kids played amazing, and you know what? I really just got to go ahead and give this one to Berkovici.
You know, that's, he had a great cool game.
A lot of yards through the air, and
he's the one who passed it to Lucien. So
yeah. Right. You know, and you know, he ran one in himself. The senior, you know, QB1, as you like to call him.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to show him some love, and you know, I feel like I've been kind of tough on him this season. You know.
We wanted to see more. I think it was just one of those things where I'm going to say weeks 4 or 5, somewhere in that range, it's like, all right, what is this offense doing?
Let me tell you something. This is my take on Berkovici. He's patient, and he's a great leader.
That's a big strength, yes.
He's humble. I think he's going to get a shot in the pros, and I think he's going to hold a clipboard for a little while. But because of his ability to be patient and – you know, get into a system, I think he's gonna go a long way. I think he's gonna be one of those types that, you know, rides the pine for, you know, 2 or 3 seasons and then gets an opportunity.
Hashtag Brock Osweiler.
You know, he's gonna get a shot. Like, I hope this kid gets drafted and gets a real shot, not one of these old
agent signings.
Run the other team's offense. Right. And nothing like that. Gets a real shot, plays some preseason games, and, you know, gets in and, you know, some mop-up time, some mop-up duty. But, you know, I really hope the best for Berkovici, man. Like, him, Simone, Foster, you can't say enough about, you know, the senior leadership on this team.
It was fantastic.
It didn't, and, you know, we talked about it last week. It didn't really reflect, you know, in the standings like we had hoped.
Correct.
But, you know, I think it's going to go a lot further. I think this is going to be you know, this is going to be the group that passes the torch kind of to that hashtag new devil order that Chase Lucas is bringing in.
Sure.
So, you know,
when I say go down to them as true freshmen, not even, there's still the whole Balazs, Ellis Jefferson crew that's will be juniors,
right?
So they got some meat in that middle scenario.
And I'm not trying to skip over them, but what I mean is that I think Chase and Byron and Nikhil, they were all at the game, and they kind of have been at a few games, and they've seen firsthand, you know, the little huddle that, you know, Jordan and
yes,
that Jordan DJ and Berkovici do. Mm-hmm. That's something that they want to do.
That's right.
They want to do the same thing. And this is going to be an extension, a continuation, because, you know, between Chase's crew and between this class of 16 or whatever that's coming in and the current, you know, class of 16 that's exiting,
mm-hmm.
You just kind of don't see that. And I think, you know, between the two different groups, you're going to see it gel a little bit more.
That
it's
works.
Be like a
that
sandwich.
Works.
And, you know, Richard and Balaj, they're going to be the new glue that mm-hmm. holds the sandwich together. So I think the Sun Devils are going to reap huge benefits from this.
I'm hoping so, because while this season obviously is not over, I will definitely say as the season progressed, we got to know them a little bit better. We got True. To know the program a little bit better. We got to know the whole message board scenario a lot better. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things happening. And obviously, yes, you mentioned those three. And yeah, there's one of the game programs that they pass around in the press box. They're all featured on the cover. And yeah, it's a defining picture. It definitely is. You're right. That was very key senior leadership.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled. I talked to a bunch of these high school kids, and you know, they see Chase and Nikhil, and you know, hopefully Byron soon. And this is something that they want to be a part of. I know that it's on the message boards right now. A couple of people have asked me, you know, how does Chase, Nikhil, and Byron coming to ASU, if Byron comes, how does that really impact future recruits? Do they really care?
I think it.
They do.
It works in their favor.
They take notice. There's a lot of kids. There's a lot of top level kids that want to, you know, get that offer from ASU mm-hmm. so that they can jump on board.
And there is a swag about those three. And again, it's obviously officially two who are committed.
Right.
But yes, there is a certain mesh, as we're kind of alluding to with the whole senior leadership. And kids are attracted to that style of play, that swag, that it factor type of thing. So yeah, you're right. In a era where everything is put on display, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or so, things happen instantaneously. So yeah, a kid from Maine, well, they don't play great football out there, he sees what Chase Lucas is doing.
Right.
So
right.
It's special. A lot of great things on tap for the Sun Devils. And this team is headed to Berkeley on Saturday night to take on the California Golden Bears. Cal is 6-5, much like ASU, but their conference mark is 3-5. All-time series is 17-15 in favor of Cal, and it'll be the first meeting since 2012 when the Sun Devils left Berkeley 27-17 winners. Passing is the name of the game for the Golden Bears, and while they spread the ball around, it's Jared Goff at the controls. The quarterback has over 3,700 yards passing with 32 touchdowns. Chili, let's hope this club doesn't have a post-territorial cup letdown.
Oh, no, that is absolutely, man, that would be the worst. It's crazy. It just seems like just yesterday we were talking about how We looked at the Cal team when they were ranked like whatever, like 15 or 16 or whatever. They were 5-0. They had just come off beating Washington at Washington and then Washington State at home. And we said that should be us. Mm-hmm. That's what we thought we were going to be. And here we are looking at a team that we're playing at the end of the season. Now we're both 6-5,
right,
and we're
right.
doing better in conference.
In conference, that's right.
So I mean, you know, it's crazy how everything has kind of come full circle. And Cal is who we thought they were. Because at the beginning of the season, I said ASU for sure should beat Cal because mm-hmm. Cal's a doormat. I retracted those words, you know, just as I felt like I should because, you know, at the time they were 5-0. So they started off 5-0 and now they're 6-5. I mean, do the math. So,
sure.
I mean, this should be a game that ASU goes to
Berkeley and walks away with a W
and comes back. Hopefully they get to eat some of that Bay Area clam chowder and, you know, whatever, come back home and, you know, get ready for the bowl game.
Absolutely. And speaking of bowl games, I was looking at the message boards earlier, asudevils.com, and they were talking about 5-7 teams being bowl eligible, which to me is crazy. And I actually haven't been back in there today. I put a comment. I was like, this whole bowl situation is just crazy there's 35 bowl games, 40 bowl games, whatever we want to say, way more than there were in, say, the Frank Cush era.
And yes.
So I just, to me, even a 6-6 team, and I'm not even, I'm getting off of the ASU track just a second. A 6-6 team doesn't even need to be in a bowl game, let alone a team that's sub 500, regardless of how many wins they have. But it would be nice, and we touched on this particular bowl game last week, if the Sun Devils were able to play in that Cactus Bowl, that would be awesome. They get to play at home. It would help a little bit in recruiting. Not so much, oh, these kids are coming here. Some of the coaches get to hit the road because that's a late bowl game. That's a January 2nd bowl game. So there's a lot of factors playing at, what do they call it now, Bank One Ballpark, Chase Field. You get the idea, where the Diamondbacks play. I just think that that would be an ideal bowl for them. I'm just not sure if they will get slotted or if they'll decline or get invited to a perceived higher prestigious bowl game.
Right. You know, there's no question. There's too many bowl games out there. There's about 15 too many.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And, you know,
played in some, for lack of a better word, where people are from who are listening, some god-awful places.
Right. And, you know, I just wish I don't know what the right way to do it is. And, you know, I don't want to get too far off the Sun Devil topic, but and, you know, at the Sun Devil's expense, honestly, like I feel like they need to do it in a way where if you don't win at least 8 games, you can't go to the bowl game.
I agree. I mean, I agree, because growing up, and obviously, yes, there are some years between us, teams, well, first off, the regular season was only 11 games in college. And if you were 7-4, you might make a bowl game. You really had to be 8-3 to really be thought of in that mix. Now this whole 6-5, and again, no disrespect to ASU or anything, because obviously we'd love for them to get into a solid tiered bowl game. But yeah, way too many games.
Right, and you know, another thing that I got to address since you brought up the name, you know, Frank Cush, man, like you talk about a legacy. This guy was a coach at ASU for 20 and a half years. Left under some, you know, questionable circumstances. I know bad things happened and stuff. And I don't want to sound like I'm defending him, because, you know, it is what he is. He exited how he exited. But, man, I would never try to compare Coach Graham to Frank. And I don't think Coach Graham would even want that unenviable.
And it was written two different eras.
Right.
Several different eras. I mean, yes, it's
so
totally different time periods. Different everything, really.
Frank was great coaching at that time. And Coach Graham is, you know, great at coaching at this
time.
Yes,
he is.
But just the day and age has changed. And you don't see coaches spend, you don't see coaches spend 10 years in one location.
Correct.
They move around.
Yes, they do.
You know, people get tired of the same old thing, you know, and they want to see something else, you know, whether they go from Utah to Florida to Ohio, or, you know, whether they, you know,
I wonder who we're talking about.
Tulsa to Pittsburgh to Arizona State.
Yes. And, no, you're right.
You kind of hope that, you know, everybody can leave a lasting impression. I don't even want
to. Or the cat down the road who went from
West Virginia
to Michigan to
Arizona
and might be going to Blacksburg or wherever. Yes, that's right.
You know, and I mean, I don't even want to say that some of these coaches are going to leave a legacy behind, because a legacy nowadays is so hard to obtain.
It is.
But you kind of just hope that they leave a very, very lasting impression. I don't want to take anything away from Coach Graham.
He's done a great job. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a post up there talking about, you know, if they beat Cal, they win a bowl, then they go 8-5.
Mm-hmm. But, which would be nice.
You know, and we're like the message board was fantastic. You know, I thought everybody kind of kept it, you know, classy, you know, and everybody, you know, kept it going in the right direction. But man, like, there's a reason we revere Coach Cush. There's a reason that he has a statue out there, because, you know, besides the throw the wins and losses out, he spent 20 years here.
Right.
He got a job at another institution, went there, and came back. Said, nah, you know what? I know where home is.
Sure.
And
sure.
Show me like another coach that has really, really done that. And show me another coach that has been somewhere for 20 years. When you spend that much time somewhere, you become that place.
Absolutely. And obviously the first thought that I have, obviously, is the late Joe Paterno. And obviously, there was a lot of exiting and craziness that happened.
Yeah.
But he spent his entire life in State College.
He
not
is.
An easy place to live. And I'm not even talking about football. That's in the middle of the Keystone State, not a glamorous place to live at all.
It doesn't matter who you are coming in there to coach or how well you do for the next 10 years. You will never be Joe Paterno.
Absolutely.
Just
nobody
like
ever
here,
will be us.
You will never be Frank Cush.
Correct.
It's just that
Correct.
Simple.
And that's exactly right. So it's, yeah, I'd like to see coaches stay around for a long time. I hope that Coach Todd Graham is here for a very long time. I think he's
for a long time.
Yes.
I like him.
I do. He's certainly got the building blocks. He has that track record of success. He's been successful here already. And I'll even consider this season a success. I definitely will. I'll say he's had four solid campaigns. Obviously, we look for a little bit more next year. But overall, yeah, I think Coach Todd Graham is doing a heck of a job. And we'll see where it goes.
I mean, you know, he coached this team as well as they could possibly be coached. He, you know, I'll give him a W because he had Berkovici playing in an offense that he wasn't really comfortable with.
Correct.
And he was successful. So if that adds a win, that would be 9 wins if they win the bowl game. And he won in recruiting. He did.
No doubt. No doubt.
Those cats from down south, he kicked their arse in recruiting. And I'll give him a W for that. So that's 10 wins to me. So
absolutely.
Hey, congratulations to Coach Graham. He really did it.
Definitely, and I certainly look forward to talking with you next week. Obviously, the regular season will have been completed. The rumors of the bowl game will be that much stronger, so we'll certainly be able to kind of hone in on a particular game or two where they may end up. So, yes, and Bobby Hurley and crew, they will have had a few more games. Charlie Turner Thorne. I got to get her name right because I do want to sit and interview her. I think we'll had her as far as just seeing some more games over the weekend tournament in Hawaii. So a lot of good things. This is always that crazy time of year. Football still going on. Basketball, everybody has that high interest. So yeah, plenty of good things going on in Sun Devil Nation. And as always, we will thank Aaron Amzin for being at the controls. Chili, great working with you. We'll talk to you next week. Brett Quintine saying, fear the fork.
I was living in a devil town. Didn't know it was a devil town. Oh Lord, it really brings me down about the devil town.